Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is July 28, 2016. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. Folks, and this is serious. You really do need to make the choice. If you haven't made the choice to have a personal relationship with Yeshua HaMashiach in your life, you need to get right now. Anything could happen. Once you die, it's too late. It has to be done before you die. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. Also, folks, remember, you know, while we're busy and sometimes messages get unanswered, another way for you to do it, and you can get your phone number to me that way, is to send me an email with your phone number in it saying this is a prayer request, and it makes it easier for me to call you back. So do that. But the phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And remember, you can always find the breaking news, our email address, mission updates, all these things, and our radio program archives, as well as our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which will simulcast live on the net internationally, so pray about supporting airtime. And on another note, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Malmo, Sweden, Dublin, Ireland, Johannesburg, South Africa, Soweto, South Africa, Guyana, Paris, France, Valencia, Spain, Amsterdam, the Netherlands, and in the United States, of course, St. Louis, Missouri, Detroit, Michigan, Dallas, Texas, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Stockholm, California, Buffalo, New York, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Newark, New Jersey, and as well as Wichita, Kansas, which still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, that is, when they go to podcast later on tonight. You folks that are out there listening live, whether it's by the internet or by satellite, I have no idea where you're at or who all's listening or how many's listening, but I do know it's a lot. Now, prayer, and I'll bring on tonight's special guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will nor my guest's will, but, Father, according to your will, and just open up the ears and the hearts of the people to hear and understand the truth so that this program tonight is a blessing to them and glorifies you and not the world. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, tonight I bring on a very special guest. That's my wife, Linda. And there's other names she goes by, such as Sister Linda, Mom, Grandma. Some like her, but most really love her. And I bet you might find some out there that probably get upset with her, but that's just because she's Mom. She's really the glue that Father uses to keep our family together and the mission church going. So many times I say I did this or I did that, but it's really she and I that did it. We are one. At least that is how our Father looks at us. So when I say I, it usually means us, as I'm only able to do the things that I do because of the other half that the Father has given to me. So now, as I call her Mom, let's welcome Mom now. So, welcome, Mom. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm tired, but I'm fine. I'm blessed. The Lord's got me alive.
Got you alive? You're alive and blessed and tired. Well, why are you tired? Did you have a busy day today?
Yeah, I had to go out of town and get something done, and it was kind of hot out.
Yeah, it was kind of hot out. Okay. Well, amen. But you seem to, and so that was for one of our children, Joshua. You seem to be busy all the time. How come?
Well, if it ain't one child, it's another child. If it ain't a child, then it's my lovely husband. If it ain't my husband, then it's somebody at the church. It's always mom, mom this, mom that. I need this, I need that. And so, yeah, I have a job.
Yeah.
Taking care of people.
Yeah.
And my family.
Amen. Well, you know, I know every time I pull up at Daniel's house where the grandchildren are out, they always run out and they're happy to see me, but there's always... Where's Grandma? Where's Grandma? Grandma coming over? You know, and so, you know, I call you a baby stealer. And so,
Well, that's funny because every time I pull up to Daniel's house, they come running out. Where's Grandpa? Where's Grandpa? Is Grandpa coming, Grandma?
Well, that makes me feel good, Dan. All right, amen. So, well, let's roll around while, you know, we're both important to our family, but you're really important, What about the mission church? What do you do at the mission church?
Keep everybody in line.
Keep everybody in line. No comment, folks. Back to my wife.
Yeah, I take care of getting everything that needs to run, take care of the bills, tell everybody what to do. Well, guide them in what to do. It's not like I'm that bad, really, am I?
No, actually, you loosened up. When we first started, it was your kitchen and it was your territory, and nobody dare step inside it. Otherwise,
no, I'm hardly ever in it.
You know, well, it's because, you know, a ministry or anything else that you do is supposed to be able to work beyond yourself. While you labored for years doing everything, you know, over it, now. The blessing is for what you started to be able to exist the way that you want it done, but without you having to be there and stand over all the time. Because you've got other things to do, you know. If you're just in the kitchen, then you couldn't do the clothes thing. What about the clothes thing? We give away free clothes, folks. Tell us about the clothes closet and how you get the clothes.
That's a big job all in itself. I get donated, and I have for years. I've gotten clothes for them. Two secondhand stores in Harper. Well, that's expanded to the lady that was bringing the clothes from Harper. Her and her husband retired, and they sold their store. So the people that they sold their store to made a deal with them that they would still give me the clothes, only I had to go get them. So for over probably 15 months, I've been going to Harper twice a month to pick up the clothes for the people. And
1 minute. Folks, let's go like this, and we'll ask her to clarify. The Mission Church is in Wichita, Kansas. We live in Florence, Kansas, which is roughly 60 miles from the Mission Church. Harper, however, is...
An hour on the other side of Wichita, so it's a four-hour deal every time I go.
So it's
2 hours there, 2 hours back.
4 hours. How's it 4 hours there and 2 hours back?
I said 2 hours there and 2 hours back. It's a four-hour ordeal every time I go.
Okay, but how long does it take you, an hour or so?
Well, yeah, so you got to say 5 hours, 6 hours, depending on how many stops I have to do between, but it's an hour to load.
Right, and then when you get back, you've got to unload. So that's 5 hours, and then so what do you do with the clothes after you get back? What happens then?
Well, I used to take them to the church, but there was no storage room, no place for the kids. The clothes were taken over the kids' room, so I decided to put them in a room that we have here, which is clear to the ceiling full now. And my daughter-in-law goes through them, separates them here, and bags up the ones that go back to the closet. We take them in my truck, and the ones that go to the AmVet store, which they sell them, and the money goes back to the veterans. Goes in your truck, and you may take them to that store. So
right. So it's not just like, people bringing clothes and that's it. You know, we really once in a while get donations from Wichita with closings, but this is, folks, this is how we get the clothes. So when we say that we give away clothes or have a clothes closet, there's a lot of work involved with that. And so, Danny, my daughter-in-law, it takes her a lot of time to sort those out, right?
Right. And then also, they have a store in Kingman that they go to pick up clothes that they rotate clothes out with. So, I went and picked up clothes in Harper yesterday, but his dad's dying, so they're going to be gone for 2 weeks. So next week I have to go to Kingman and pick up clothes. They're going to be calling me to come to Kingman. So actually I'm not getting a break. This week I went to Harper. Next week I'll go to Kingman. Then the week after that I'll go back to Harper again.
Yeah, so it's a big ordeal, you know, but you don't mind because it's a blessing to people, you know.
And I love road trips.
Yeah, she's a road trip person, believe me. Many ministry trips that she's been on, we've had bands and things donated to us over the years, and she's been the one to go after them, of course. So she's a road trip girl. Okay, well, moving on from that. So, okay, we have the clothes closet. Now, so that we covered how that is. Well, then, you know, we have the church. What do we usually feed? How does that go? Tell us about a typical day.
I used to do everything, but like I said, there's so much to do now, and we've grown so much that there's no way I could do. And I'm getting that O word that I'm not going to say. But anyway, so I have helpers that come and help, and I have right now I have Ted, who is very dedicated, and I'm so thankful that the Lord sent him back to me, because he cooks egg sandwiches from 1 to 3, and we were blessed with getting eggs. I got a place in Marion that I was ordering eggs for 58 cents a dozen, and then they went to 68 cents, and then they went to 89. Well, right now they're still 89 cents a dozen. And I'm fixing that. I've still got 40 dozen at church, and he's been going through 13 to 15 dozen every Tuesday and Friday, and he cooks them from 1 to 3, and then I try to be in the kitchen at 3 to cook dinner, but he first at 1 o'clock, he asked me, Sister Linda, what are you making for dinner? Because he knows that if I'm not in there, guess who gets to cook?
Yeah, Ted does. Well, you know, her way of saying Ted gets to cook or I get to cook or something like that, it's generally with somebody else by the name of Mom on the other end of the phone saying, well, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want to cook. And she usually does that. Not that we couldn't do it without her, but she knows everything that's there, and it's just, you know, besides that, everything always turns out. So, I mean, you know, tell us about a typical dinner that you make.
Well,
what you're making it out of, too.
Here the past probably 3 months, maybe longer, we really haven't had that much funding because of all the bills that have been going up and gas and all the extra trips to go everywhere. But anyway, funding hasn't been that great because the economy's not that great. So I've just barely been able, and we lost our bread source. We were getting free bread, and now we have to buy bread, which we have to buy 25 to 30 loaves every Tuesday and every Friday. So right there you're looking at $30 just for the bread alone. That's all you're talking about there is the bread. And then I have to buy the meat, which is another $30. So right at this present time, in the past 2 months, we've only been able to afford the bread and the meat. So then you say, what have you been doing with it then? Okay, we have several donations of dehydrated Y2K foods and survival foods that's been donated from people rotating out their stocks, and you'd be surprised what I can make out of that stuff.
Yeah, that's amazing. You made some, you made a chicken soup-like thing. I don't know what you want to call it. It's food. But that's what she always calls everything. What are you making today, food? Well, anyway, it had chicken in it, and it had tomatoes in it, and it had potatoes and onions and stuff in it. And I said, man, this is really good, and I really like potatoes. And she said, they were dehydrated. You know, and so, really, folks, a lot of that storage food that people offer, if you hydrate it right, tastes just like real food, you know, because it is real food, but you know what I mean.
Like that spaghetti and chicken and noodles. I used spaghetti, but I made chicken and noodles with fettuccine is really what it was. But I had dehydrated broccoli and dehydrated carrots and chicken bouillon and chicken, and that's what else. I don't remember what else.
I don't know.
It was the bomb. It was really good.
Yeah, that was really,
really
good.
Really
that
good.
That
and you couldn't tell it was dehydrated.
Right, and that was Tuesday. You know,
yeah.
And that was really good. And so she can make things out of anything. It seems, you know, it's really a talent And, you know, it's hard to do. But the point is we get everybody fed that walks through the door, don't we?
Yes, we do. And I used to be able to make, like, three-course meals. What I mean by that is I used to be able to have a meat and a potato and a vegetable and a dessert. Well, I don't even buy cake mix anymore. I just buy the flour and make my homemade cake. So they're actually getting homemade cakes now, too. So we usually just have a one dish and bread and butter and cake because that's what we have. We feed what the Lord gives us.
Right. But that one dish, though, is like something like chicken and noodles or a goulash or a soup that has other things in it, you know, vegetables or potatoes or stuff in it. And it is good for them, just like the egg sandwiches are really great protein for the people. Okay. So, and we even cater to the neighborhood. We give away some to-go place. But let's back up. Who comes into the place, from your opinion?
Anybody and everybody that hears about us usually winds up stopping in. Yeah. For the most part, we thought it was the neighborhood, but it's really not. A lot of them, I'd say about maybe 30% of the people that come in are from the neighborhood, but for the most part, it's homeless, people that are poor, people that are working, they can't feed their families, they come down and bring their families down and get sandwiches and eat dinner, and it's two nights a week that they get a relief, and they can go to the Lord's Diner 7 days a week, but people say they don't like to go there because there's too many fights and la, la, la,
right.
They just don't like
to go there.
Well,
there's a lot going on there. You know, really, even the police have said more than once and said it to me personally that, you know, we're like we're not even there because we don't ever have the police called in. You know, once in a while we have to call an ambulance for somebody because of an illness that they had, a seizure, a medical condition. But, you know, it's a place of peace, you know. I mean, yeah, once in a while we have to tell some gripey person to go on their way, and we tell them that, okay, you're barred for today. And when they figure it out that they have to say they're sorry and behave, then they'll come back and say they're sorry, and then they're usually brought back in. There's only a couple of people in our whole history that I consider dangerous that I said would not come back.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have to do something pretty bad to get barred for life. Usually, if they do something bad, they get barred for 6 months or 3 months, just depending on what they did and who bars them.
Yeah.
I usually tell them come back the next day unless they really make me mad, and then I tell them to just leave and, yeah, come back and talk to Pastor Van.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got an elder now that's been helping us, and he's barred a couple of people, but they just got twisted his nerves completely. And, you know, he's kind of he's going through a phase of figuring how to do that. But those people, it's no big deal. I see them come right back.
Yeah.
You know, and, but anyway, so praise the Father. We help people from all walks of life. Now, who comes in looking for clothing, and what kind of clothing are you giving out?
I give out any secondhand store. Whatever you can find in the secondhand store, you can probably find at Messiah's Branch.
Well, do some women come in looking for clothes for their children?
Oh, yes.
And infants? So, you know, we're covering, the point we're trying to get out with our folks is that we take, people come in from all, I mean, in the poor spectrum, but I mean, you know, some people come in, they look for clothes for their children. Some of them people coming in looking for clothes for themselves, so on and so forth, you know. And so it's really, you know, it's a real blessing. We also got a telephone that they can use the telephone, except though I think that, I don't know, is the telephone on?
I think the phone's on. It's messed up. I got to call Cox because you can call out, but when you call back the number,
yeah,
it says the phone's disconnected.
Oh, well, so we'll probably have to call Cox.
Oh, it's something in the phone line.
But that bill probably needs to be paid, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, that bill, and that's probably what it is.
Yeah, and it's behind, because going back to that, folks, is the summertime, it didn't used to be this way until the economy got really bad and got worse and worse. Well, summertime is a really, really tough time because there's so much to pay. We used to do a newsletter that mailed out, and that brought in money, but the last couple of newsletters that we did mail out didn't really bring in much. And so, you know, the main way that we have to communicate with people for donations is through this radio program. And so we really appreciate it. Go ahead.
Well, you got the newsletter. The reason why we have not been able to do the newsletter is because of the expense of it. The last one we did cost almost $1,000 to do, And it didn't bring in but like maybe 300 or 400 of that 1,000. So it didn't pay for itself. We did the math on the newsletters to make one newsletter and mail it in the mail. That's just one newsletter. It cost $1.87 to make one newsletter.
For one person.
For one person.
Right, right. So we may get be, if we can ever afford it, you know, go back the old way. What I've suggested on radio, folks, I know some people, or maybe there, I know there's some businesses and churches and people that listen to us. Listen, if we had one of those commercial grade copiers, and those are modern, other than the one that we used to have, that was the inkjet. Now the laser printers are just endless how many copies that you can print out. And so we could print out a newsletter and mail it out. And so if somebody had a laser jet that they wanted to donate to us to do newsletters, that would be a real, real big blessing.
Yes. I have somebody that would enjoy doing that, too, a disabled man that would really enjoy to do that.
Yeah, amen. And so, yeah, we'd like to get the newsletters going back on, but, you know, it's hard because all of the money that people think, well, why don't you buy something like that? Or you guys must be getting rich or on radio. Well, there is so much expense involved with taking care of the people and keeping the bills on. I mean, you know, we're in the office, which is in Florence, Kansas. The electric bill has to be paid here. The internet has to be paid here, and so on and so forth. And then the Mission Church, it's summertime. The Mission Electric in the summertime is really, really high. And then we got water and gas and all that over there, and then transportation back and forth. And so, you know, the bills are really high during the summertime, and really because people are being crushed. A lot of you out there know this because you've been crushed. You're not making as much money as you used to. We have some of the same supporters that have been supporting us for years. They're just not able to support us as much because of the economy. Well, we're going to go to a break, and then we'll come back. And while we're at break, if you want to see about the Wichita Mission Church, go to WichitaHomeless.com. That's WichitaHomeless.com. There's a lot of stuff over there. You can see some photos. You can see some videos. You can see some clips even about what the news media has said to us over the year. You can see a few things like Thanksgiving things that we put up there and everything. So go to WichitaHomeless.com. And it even has our address over there where it's at, 900 South Broadway. If you wanted to mail a check and donate, you could do that through there, or I'm pretty sure there's a PayPal link over there also. You can also donate by PayPal. And folks, we'll be back with Pastor Dan and Sister Linda in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, I always say this is the part of the program where I say pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor in our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. And I'm not going to go through a whole bunch of things because I have on here with me tonight my wife, and we're talking about the mission church. But I will remind you, you can donate online, mail a check or money order. And any size donations help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. Anyway, so pray about it. And if you have a specific need that you want it to go to, then please mark it on it. Write us a note or something. Otherwise, we'll just use it for the ministry as normal. Anyway, so now I'm back with my wife. Say hello back to the people.
Hello, people.
Hello, people. Really?
You said hello back to the people.
Yeah, I'm surprised she didn't say hello back to the people.
Yes.
You know, I mean, okay, really, this is what I have to put up with. 31 years.
We'll be in December.
You know, well, see, folks, guys out there, listen to me. I'm 61. I married a woman 7 years younger than me. And when you marry somebody younger, this is what you have to deal with. Anyway, that's a good thing, though.
You caught that younger, right?
Yeah, 7 years. You know, okay. Now then, we'll talk to my lovely wife. Let's see here. So, we covered a lot of things. What about, you know, do we ever see any miracles ever happen around that place?
No, we see miracles all the time.
Give them an example.
Well, we see people get off the street, get jobs, get houses, get healings.
From what? From prayers that we've laid
in? From anointing in the prayer circle, and yeah.
Okay, well, you know, see, I'm just trying to get them to know. They can't read your
mind. A friend of mine came. She was getting ready to go for open heart surgery. What was it? Triple bypass surgery on a Monday, and she came to church on a Friday for prayer. And we anointed her and prayed on her, and she said she felt a warm sensation throughout her body. Well, when she went Monday for the operation, she checked in the hospital, and they went to hook her up on the monitors, and they said, "What did you say you was in here for?" And she said, "Well, triple bypass surgery." And they said, "Well, you don't need no surgery. Your heart's just fine, and you need to go on back home." So she was healed in prayer circle on Friday and didn't have to have her surgery on Monday. And then the same lady 2 years later came back. They told her she was dying with cancer. She'd only have 3 or 4 months left to live.
Right, right.
And she's had 2 grandbabies since then.
Right, and we did the same thing. We prayed on her, and it gave. Let's go with this. So, you know, we see miracles. Those are miracles of faith, and that's in the prayer circle. And so, Mom, you know, on here, I've told them, I said a lot of times that, you know, they can't get me on phone or something, but if they actually would send me an email with their prayer request and their address on it, we'd print out the prayer request, we take it to that prayer circle, and then what do we do in that prayer circle? Tell them how
we anoint
works.
We anoint the prayer request. If you don't have computer and can't do email, then just send us one in the mail. What we'll do is we'll anoint the letter or the print it out and anoint it, and then we'll pray on it in prayer circle, and if we have your address, we'll mail it back to you. So if you mail it to us, we'll mail it back to you. And if you send it by email, then include your address, and after we pray on it, then we'll mail it back to you.
Well, I know a lot of people would worry, well, that's just a way of soliciting somebody's address. Do we use the address for anything else?
No, I don't even keep your address or your envelope or anything. Once it goes out, then it's gone. I take the envelopes and shred them, and they go in the trash. I don't keep envelopes or anything.
Right, and in prayer circle is something that happens at the end of our service, and then everybody that's there, we all stand around in a circle, and we pray for the men and the women, and sing the blessing
on the children, yeah.
Yeah, we sing the Sabbath blessing over the children, and then, you know, towards the end, it depends on if it's a prayer from a man or a woman. If it's from a woman, we'll do it during the time we pray on women. If it's for a man, we do it during the time for men. What?
Some of you might be wondering, well, what? How do you mail out a mailing list if you don't keep the addresses? That mailing list for the newsletter is specifically just for the newsletter. That's the only thing that it's ever used for. That's the only mailing that we use those addresses for. Is we print labels and they go on the newsletters. That's it. They're on a little disc and they go in there, print the labels for the newsletter. They go on the newsletter. Other than that, they're on that little disc. Nobody ever even sees them.
Yeah, and the newsletter, I believe that we could get it to work back again. And I think we went to a different form, which was booklets, which cost more. But I think that if we went back to the old way, it would be a little bit cheaper. But if we could get somebody to sponsor it for at least even a few months, you know, like what? How much would we have to have a month?
Well, I don't know. The cost of everything's went up, and they did the math on both forms, and it was only like $100 difference.
Right. So, but we get a discount and everything, so it's around $600 or $700 to send it out and do.
Yeah, that's to to print it, and I think for the stamps, I think that's included. Yeah, I think it was before that.
Correct mailing.
Last time it was $900. The time before that, I think it was $600. Because I didn't have, as many discounts as I did. The guy or somebody did something wrong.
Okay, so the point is if we had a donation, if somebody wanted to sponsor the newsletter for about 3 months running, I believe that we could get a lot of these donations back in if we could start it back going again. At least we would like to try if they wanted to sponsor it for 3 months or something, or different people sponsor it different months. Or, hey, if you might just put it on your heart, we'll mail one out whenever somebody sends the money in. So it's going to cost us anywhere between probably $600 to $700, maybe $900. So, but pray about it, because that's another asset for the Wichita Mission Church if you're looking to help. So how many people would you think that we help? I mean, are we useful? We've been doing this for, we're in our 17th year. How many people have we helped?
Oh, hundreds of people a week. We do the egg sandwiches. You figure that out, 13 dozen egg sandwiches, that's 12 times 13. And even if one person, everybody gets two, you still have a lot of people there. How many people that would be there, I can't do the math in my head anymore. But if you figure that out, people come and go all day long. The people that come for the sandwiches aren't necessarily the same people that come for dinner. People know that we serve dinner at 4:30. They don't come until 4:30. They come just for dinner. But people know that we do sandwiches. They come for the movie and the sandwiches. It's not necessarily the same people every time. But we've been feeding up to 58, 60, up to 75 people dinner at 4:30.
Right. And so when you actually start doing the math on all this and all the Bibles and all the shoes and all the clothes and all the different things that we've done for now our 17th year, we have helped thousands upon thousands of people
right
over the years. And, you know, we consistently, you know, run into them in the street, you know. And
we can't go anywhere. Every time we go somewhere, somebody sees you, and it's you. They always know, hey, Pastor Dan, remember me? You helped me 5 years ago and blah, blah, blah. Or you helped me 10 years ago, and you remember when you was over on Maple? And, yeah, everywhere we go.
Yeah, you can't go anywhere in Wichita, and sometimes Newton is the same way. But so we've helped a lot of people, and that has been because people like you or people that read the newsletter have donated to keep this going. Because, as you know, folks, have you heard us try to sell you anything? We sell nothing. This ministry sells nothing.
It's faith only.
It's by faith, and that's the faith to believe that the Father told us to do this, that he would provide the means somehow. Now, it's always harder on my wife because the money comes into the ministry and we give it to her and she gets it out of the mail, whatever, and she's the one that has to stretch it and make all the ends meet. I do, my part is doing the radio and doing the news and keeping the website up and everything, but she deals with the money, you know, and so.
And I can't count how many times on Tuesdays or Fridays we get ready to go and we have no money to go. I have no meat for the dinner. There's no bread for the sandwiches. But what? We have no gas in our vehicles. But what? We go anyway. And when we get there, the Lord has provided the money, either in the mailbox or it comes right after we get there. We just go and the money's always there. He has never failed us.
That's because, see, that's the way faith is. If you have faith enough, you say you believe something, then if you believe it, then you believe it's going to get done. So then why are you sitting on the couch waiting on it? He may want to give it to you the other way.
Exactly. And you know how many people, if we just sat on the couch and stayed home because we don't have the money to go or there's no bread or just all the reasons I just named, if we just stay home, you know, there might have been somebody that was desperately needing something from us that day and we didn't show up to give it to them.
Well, yeah, so we've talked about food and clothing and prayer, so many prayers, but people show up for other needy things, you know. They show up for counseling, and I can't count the women that have showed up that we didn't have the money to get them any place, but I put it out on the Internet on our mission update list, and we was able to find some money to get them off the street and put them in a hotel for a few days until they could find
something. You did a family. You did that with that family that came. You got them that trailer.
Right.
They didn't have nowhere to live. They were evicted out of their house, and they came to you, and you put it on the Internet, and you got them that trailer
right
for the first month's rent and deposit, and it got them back off the street and on their feet, and he was able to get a job, and they're probably still in that trailer.
Right, right. Amen. So, you know, I can't tell you all the
different things that we, you say, well, give me a list of everything that you do. I can't give you a list of everything you do because I don't know what we're going to do until somebody walks in the door. It's just like we've got a couple of set rules on things, but I'm always saying, you know, yeah, those are general rules, but it can be changed by the circumstance of the person that walked in because we're not an agency. You know, what happens when they usually walk in someplace that's an agency? What do they ask for first?
Their ID and where their income and where they live and their address. Well, they don't have an address. Well, we have to have something with your address on it. Or you need to have ID or we can't help you. If you don't have any ID, then you need to get ID and come back. Well, then you go to get ID, you need two forms ID to get ID. Really?
Or if it's one of the places that the homeless get in, they need proof that you're homeless.
Really?
And so I can't count how many. Well, really, for so many agencies, I can't count how many people come in and say, Pastor Dan, can you sign this note or write me a note that says that you know I'm homeless? Because they won't let me in unless I prove I'm homeless. Well, you know, sometimes that's kind of hard to prove that you're homeless, you know.
Right.
I mean, that just boggles my mind. Prove to me you're homeless. Really, I have nothing on my back. I have nothing, and you want me to prove I'm homeless. Okay, moving right along.
Right.
But we're not an agency, so we don't ask people for those things. People just walk in the door, and, you know, they come in and see what we're doing, and they, you know, they
stay
for us.
I got a quick question. Have you asked the people or told the people anything about the bus?
Well, go ahead.
The bus is broken down, and it's been broken down for what, a month, 2 months?
2 months.
2 months. And it's at my son's house, and they've been going through it, and he's completely rewired it. And they thought they had it fixed. They went to get gas, and it wouldn't start, wouldn't run. So now we come to find out they got a tester from the gentleman
Elder.
That's helping him at church that we spoke about earlier. But he got a tester, and now it's the fuel pump. Well, I priced the fuel pump yesterday, and it's $277. And so we're not going to have no bus till we get a fuel pump.
Okay, well, why do we need a bus?
We go down to the Open Door, which is a day shelter. The homeless people hang out, and that's where we've always picked them up at. So we go there, and they expect the bus there at 1 o'clock. And that's why we haven't been as busy, too, is because most of them don't walk. It's too hot to walk down to our place, so they don't come because we don't have a bus to pick them up. We pick them up at 1 o'clock. We bring them down to the shelter, let them watch the movies and eat sandwiches, get in and out of the weather. And then at 3:45, they take them back because they have to be out the open door to go to the mission. The men go to the mission. They have to be at the open door to catch the bus. So they take them back at 3:45 to go catch the bus to go to the mission. And then after we feed dinner at 5:30, they give them a ride to the Lord's Donner on the bus. So the bus is very needed, and they've asked for they've been asking about the bus every time we go. Well, are we giving rides today? No, the bus is in Florence. It's
okay,
still broken down.
Let's go with this. A couple of things. While she says he shows up for dinner and different things, another thing that we haven't touched on is we pick up people on the bus that aren't able to walk down there, and the homeless usually most of them go back to the north end to find places to stay tonight. But let's say this. There's another thing we haven't talked about, which is first aid. Let's talk about first aid for a minute. What kind of things do we do first aid with?
That we do first aid with?
What do we do? What kind of injuries?
Oh, you're Dr. Dan to them. It's Pastor Dan, and then when they're hurt, it's Dr. Dan. They've come in with knife wounds, split open. They don't go to the hospital. They want him to fix him up. So he butterfly stitches them up, and he's just did all kinds of stuff. There was one gentleman came in and had his toes frostbite about fall off, and he helped him get attention. Well, I don't remember what he did with them, but he helped him. There's been all kinds of injuries that come in. Just like the guy that came in last Tuesday, he'd been beat up and he got stabbed in his side. He had a big old gash in the back of his head. Then there was a lady out there, he was doctoring. I walked up and he was doctoring her toe or her foot or something. I don't remember, toenail or something. There's just all kinds of stuff they come for him for.
I doctor them a lot all the time. I don't know, remember, because I had several once. I had a woman that had a bad toe, and then I had a woman that had some kind of a problem on her shin, and then one that had one on her upper leg, and I just directed her how to
fixed out.
Spider bites, yeah.
Yeah, it's summertime. Spider bites are living outside, and so, you know, you have to teach them how to, you know, do that, you know, and or you have to do it for them, and that's the point. And I don't ask, I've learned first aid many, many years ago and taking care of people, and I did never go to school for it, but I can doctor just about any wound there is.
Oh, yeah, and that's the first person all the grandkids look for. Let's go see Grandpa.
Yeah, just about everybody that knows me, if they're around me, they ask me for that. I'm the ailment cure, but, you know, always include prayers with those things. Because, you know, the Father anointed us to do the things that we do. You know, it's just like when we pray on people, you know, if it's a woman that we need to pray on, I always make sure my wife is there to pray on them, because there's something about a woman praying on a woman that it just works better. And, you know, she prays with her emotion, and so... You know, I'm not saying she's a miracle worker because the Father is, you know, a miracle worker, but, you know, she gets the job done, you know, if she believes and knows it, you know, and her emotion comes out, then the prayers really are dynamite and work. And it's the same way with me. You know, we anoint people. People come from all over asking for just prayers and know we don't have things, but they still have the need. And so they ask for, you know, I'm a solution guy. Well, part of that solution is always prayers, and you'd be amazed at some of the things that we do. And so here it is. We're doing our 17th year. I'm going to ask you the question that asked me all the time by different people, whether it's the homeless and other people. How long are you going to be doing this, Sister Linda?
This is my life. As long as the Lord keeps me alive and the stuff to do it with, I'm doing it.
You sound convicted. Why do you like doing what you're doing?
It's my life.
It's your life. So then you believe that you were called to do this?
Yes, I was called to do this.
Amen. So, you know, that's our heart. Our heart is to take care of the people because the Father told us to take care of the people. And it's perfect for the lives, the people that we used to be are not the people that we are now. But the Father sends us the people we used to be.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Yeah. I caught that right when it came out. That is exactly it, yeah. And we deal with all kinds of people, believe me.
Yeah.
And they think they can get over on us, but guess what? The Lord allows you to go through things so that you know things, and that's the end of the story.
You know, a lot of people ask me, they say, well, I think I'm supposed to be going into the ministry, you know. I wonder what I'm going to be doing. And I say, well, you know, first thing you need to do is look at your life. Because most of the time, what you did previously is the experience that you gained that the Father will use in your ministry.
Right.
You know, absolutely. And in two ways with me. One, with the people. But, you know, even Stan, I won't mention names, but I have other ministries and things call me to get information and to make sure it's true and to look it up and make sure it's true and not a hoax. And I do put out news on several websites, not only mine but others. So I'm a great researcher, but I've always been a researcher. Even when I was a child, I was reading books that were many, many years my senior. Even when I was in the world, I was always reading books, always researching. And so the Father uses that now, you know, and that's why I can see so through so many of these hoaxes. These people say, oh, this is going to happen this year or that's going to happen. You know, I know how to check those things out. I know how to pray about them. I know how to check them out. I know how to look them up. You're not going to pull like the FEMA putting everybody in FEMA camp hoax on me, because it's just not possible. There's not enough people to do that. And it's let alone with the UN, which has no real army. But there's just, it's a hoax. Believe me, a FEMA camp is a hoax. Yes, FEMA has resources in order to help people, and yes, they can set up FEMA camps, but there's no FEMA army. They don't have huge prisons and all those things, and I've proved it over and over and over again over the years, you know, to people. And the same old hoax. It's not nothing new. I mean, here it is. We're in 2016, and in 92 or 3, they were saying the same thing, and it was going to happen any day.
Something about black helicopters comes to mind.
Seen some of those black helicopters. Yeah, absolutely. But the point is, though, but there is things. We are living in that time of the end. Do you believe that we're in a serious time?
Oh, yes. The Bible's coming to life.
Yeah, absolutely, folks. It is really coming to life. But tell us what you said about crowds this year. You said, no, we're not going anywhere. And why'd you say that?
Because of ISIS. It might be your neighbor.
Right. So you meant you wouldn't go into any, you know, tell the people. You told me, tell the people, you wouldn't go
anywhere.
I told
my children that we were not going to be going to any fairs or any kind of gatherings like Riverfest or any of those kind of outdoor concerts or any kind of indoor concerts or any kind of anything where there's huge amounts of people this year, especially because of ISIS, and they're killing and they're targeting our youth anyway. So there's no way I'm going to go to anything like that this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's because of the direness of the time that we're in. You need to avoid those things, you know. And besides, it should be a time we should be, you know, instead of those things, create your own family event. You know?
I did. We're going swimming Friday or Saturday at the lake, swim party.
Well, that's the Sabbath. Are you cooking food, sister?
No, we're having sandwiches and chips and ice cold water.
In ice cold water. I don't know. I seen you making some pasta salad earlier.
Oh, and pasta salad. Oh, and I'm making s'mores. I cheated. I got the guy that has the silver pan on the commercial on TV that puts chocolate chips and the marshmallows in the pan. Well, I'm going to do that, and it's going to be hot out, so they'll be nice and melted. They can just put them on their graham crackers, and we're going to have a family party.
Yeah, amen. And that's at the lake, and that's at Marion Lake, which is a small lake. It's not, you know, it's not some huge lake where it's a state lake where there's thousands of people, and so there's just a small amount of people there. And so there's the difference, you know, than going to a large event. But folks, you need to use this time. You need to get close to Yeshua. If you're not getting close to Yeshua, then, you know, nothing's going to help you. And you need to be close to Yeshua because it don't have to be a terrorist attack. It could be, you could come down with cancer. We know people who get cancer all the time, you know.
Yeah.
People get cancer and die, or like my wife, she got a brain aneurysm, you know, and that was, the father helped heal that, but he used the doctor to do it.
That was three miracles in 2 weeks.
Right, and that was without a major, they didn't have to open up your head or nothing to do it, they just went up through an artery, and that was a miracle. If we had time, we'd tell you the whole story about it, but the point is that anything could happen at any time, you know, and so you need to be right now with Yeshua. You need to make sure that he is the Lord of your heart, the Lord of you. And Lord means master. So why do you call him Lord, Lord, and not do the things that he says? That's what he says. And so he says keep the commandments. You know, the people say they don't know what the covenant is. Richard Reese pointed it out about a week or so ago. He said, well, you know, he said, I don't understand that because they have a thing and it's called the Ark of the Covenant. And what the only thing that they put in it was the Ten Commandments. So, therefore, what's the covenant?
You know, amen, Richard.
Duh. You know, and I was even going, oh, duh, Richard, you know. So, you know, you keep his Ten Commandments, but keep them spiritually, too. I mean, you know, think about them. You know, sin starts in the heart.
Amen. And nobody's perfect. Anyone that says they don't sin is a liar. The Bible even says that. Everybody sins. But the point, the trick to it is, and there's no trick, the key to it is repent, turn away, and try to do better. Try to do your best. That's all he expects out of us. When you catch yourself messing up, repent, ask for forgiveness, and make it right, and turn away from it.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. And that means, you know, do good to them, and also do good to them that do bad to you. Pray for your enemies.
That's hard, but yes, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, well, they say if you pray for your enemies and you do good to them, it's like heaping hot coals of fire on their head. But, you know, the point is it's easy to love those that love you, but it's not easy to love those that hate you. And there's the point. You know, there is the point. We need to not be like the world. We need to be like Yeshua. Otherwise, you would call ourselves Christians. That means Christ-like or Messiah-like. Well, how can you be Messiah-like if you're not doing these things? So pray about it, folks. Pray about the Wichita Mission Church. We're really, right now, we're doing a major cleanup. I said it in the last program, so I won't go into it. So listen to the program we did earlier tonight, or I did earlier tonight, but we're doing a major cleanup. We don't really have all the money and everything that we need right now to do it, nor all the labor, and we're starting on it Monday. If you live in Wichita and you want to come and help out with some labor, moving stuff in and out or something, show up
900 South Broadway on Monday. And if you can make a donation to help with that, that's good too. And the mission bus, we didn't finish that. We need at least, let's just say $300 to get a fuel pump and get it going for the people. But I'm running out of time. So folks, remember, there is only one God. He is your father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. If you're not a blessing to others, how can you even be saved? Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Father, I ask you to bless and keep them, and shine your face on them, and be gracious to those folks, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom. Say goodbye,
Mom. Amen. Goodbye.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.